Amen. Amen. Let's spend some time in the Word, a little bit of time in the Word of God today. God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your life. Do you understand that? So help me. There may be someone around you. If there's no one around you, then talk to yourself this morning. Say, God has a purpose for my life. Now, say your name and then ask yourself, do you understand that? Moses, do you understand that? Let's do that one more time. God has a purpose for my life. Moses, do you understand that? Somebody say, Pastor, you change your name. Yeah, just for this service. Just for this service. Hallelujah. God has a purpose for your life. Moses, do you understand that? Do you understand that? Exodus, let's go back there to Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4. You have seen, this is the Lord speaking with Moses, speaking to Moses. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Do you understand why the Lord has kept you alive? Do you know why you are still here today? In spite of the so many that you know, the so many that I know, who are no longer here on this side of eternity, do you know why you are here? Do you understand that God has a purpose for your life? He said, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and I brought you unto myself. Do you understand that the reason God did all of that is because he has a purpose for your life? That the reason God goes to the extent that he does to preserve your life, to keep you, to ensure that you are preserved, is because he has a purpose for your life. You know, so many people don't have understanding. During this week, earlier in the week, one of the devotions that we read, one of the scriptures there, I think it might be somewhere in Proverbs 16 or something, says that he who lacks understanding will dwell in the congregation of the dead. How many people remember that scripture? There's that scripture somewhere in that devotional this week. Whoever does not have understanding will live in the congregation of the dead. Only dead people lack understanding. If you are truly alive and if you are fully alive, one of the marks of your living and one of the marks of your fulfilling the life that God and the purpose that God has given you is that you have understanding. Is that you have understanding. Hallelujah. Can you take some time and just go over the sum total of your life and your journey of destiny and remember how you arrived where you are right now? Can you just look back? Can you take stock? Can you take stock and think? Because the Lord said, Moses, I brought you here to myself. I bore you on eagle's wings. And I, I did all that I did to the Egyptians so that I could bring you to myself. So that I could bring you to myself. I took you on a flight of purpose so that you can arrive here. Can you take stock of your life, Moses? Do you remember and do you acknowledge that you would not even be here today if not that I had a purpose for your life? I set you up for a divine schedule, a divine plan, a divine assignment, and I orchestrated things right from even before you were born. That's why the life of every child is important. The life of every creature that God makes is important. Every life in the womb. The Lord said to Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I knew you. No life is a mistake. Every life has a unique destiny. Now, do you understand that? Do you understand that? Do you know how much I had to orchestrate to get you to where you are today? Do you know how I had to rearrange things in your life, on your journey? How I put people on your path? How I caused you to go in certain directions that you did not even know you were going to go in? Do you know why I did all of that? Do you understand that it is because I have a purpose for your life? Moses. Moses. Is that the psalmist in Psalm 39, and I think it's verse 4 and 5. Lord, help me. Help me to know my end and the measure of my days. What it is that I may know how frail I am. In the Amplified, it says, Lord, make me to know my end and to appreciate the measure of my days, what it is. Let me know and realize how frail I am, how transient is my stay here. He said in verse 5, behold, you have made my days as short as handbreadths. My lifetime is as nothing in your sight. Truly, every man at his best is merely a breath. Lord, make me know my end. And that word there, know, is the word yada in the Hebrew. It means help me know, help me have revelation, help me have knowledge, help me have understanding. Help me know. It means to have an intimate experience with the truth. Have an intimate encounter. Help me know why I am here. Help me know. Help me know. He's not talking about, so you know, help me know my end and the measure of my day. No, it's not, Lord, help me know what date I will pass on from the earth. That's not what he's saying. God will not tell you that date. That's not what he's saying. Help me know my end and the measure of my days. Help me know how measurable my time on this earth is. Help me know. Help me understand. He says, help me know how frail I am. He says, how transient is my stay. Help me set my heart to purpose. Help me understand why I'm here. Why you sent me here. Why I arrived here. Help me understand why you orchestrated my path and all that you did to get me to where I am today. Help me understand it. And when I understand it, then help me set my heart to wisdom. Help me set my heart to knowledge. Help me set my heart to purpose. Lord, that I might live not as someone who is just blowing like the wind, like someone who is just without purpose, someone who just gets up and is just blown by natural elements and circumstances, and I just find myself here, and then the next day I find myself there, and the next week I find myself over there. No, no, no. Lord, help me know there is a reason why I'm where I am today. Help me know there is a purpose for my life. There's a purpose. You have a purpose for my life. God has a purpose for your life. Let me ask you one more time. Do you understand that? Can you take stock and go through? Let's do part of that for Moses this morning. When we left off the last time talking about purpose, we saw the midwives who were a part of Moses coming into the earth. Without the midwives playing the role they played, Moses would not have arrived here. Though God had a plan for him, though God had a purpose for him, though God set him aside for a unique divine purpose and destiny, without what the midwives did, Moses would not have arrived here. It was the midwives in cooperation with God. They had something called understanding. They had something called understanding. The Bible says, they that lack understanding, they will be in the congregation of the dead. It means part of what identifies you with the living is understanding. And you could be walking around the earth. You can have breath in your lungs. You are alive and you are well. But if you lack understanding, you are really dead. Because you don't know why you are here. You are just drifting. Hallelujah. It was the midwives. The midwives had understanding. When Pharaoh gave instruction and said, kill every male child that is born, the midwives had understanding. They knew God had a purpose for these children. They did not totally grasp everything about it, but they understood that there is a purpose that God has for these children that are about to be born. And because of that understanding, they decided they were going to spare the lives of the children. The midwives had purpose, and it was marked by understanding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then, in that season, when the Lord set up midwives, and when the midwives decided to cooperate with God, in that season, God sent Moses. In that season, God sent Moses. Huh. Let me take a moment and speak to people who may feel, maybe, I don't know, this is probably unlikely, but let me say it anyways. Maybe you're carrying a child, or maybe you are raising a child that doesn't feel great. Maybe the circumstances of your carrying that baby don't seem great. Maybe the circumstances around this child that you have don't seem great. Maybe you wish this child was different. Maybe you wish this child was, quote unquote, normal. Let me just say to you, there is a purpose for every life that God creates. God needs you to understand that today. There is a purpose for the life of that child. Let me take a minute and speak to parents. So many people don't understand. One of the most powerful assignments of parenthood is to feed children on a diet of purpose when they are young. Is to feed children on a diet of purpose. Until, if you have not raised those children to understand there is a purpose for their lives, then you have not worked in understanding. you have not partnered with God to help him use those children for the purpose for which he created them. The diet of purpose is a diet that children should be fed from very earlier on. Purpose. There's a reason why you are here. There's a reason why God created you. You are not a product of evolution. You didn't just come together just, you know, because a few things happened, elements were mixed together, things, and then there was an explosion, and then you just happened. It is not true. It is not true. You are here because God ordained your life. He created you. He sent you for a divine purpose. That's why you are here. Oh, if we can tell some of our little boys that when they are still very little, they may grow up to become different from what a lot of them grew up to be. If we can tell our little girls that when they are still very little, they can grow up differently from the way they grow up. They can grow up understanding that they are unique, they are precious, they are special. That their physical appearance, their mental attributes, none of those things quantify the uniqueness that God created them with. No, in themselves, they are created uniquely by God. They are created uniquely by God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yeah, teach them all the good stuff and teach them how to look good and teach them how to talk right and teach them how to walk right and teach them how to do everything. Get them good education. Get them everything. But at the root of everything, let them know there is a purpose for their lives. There is a reason why God sent them here. There is a reason. Their lives are not a mistake. They are not a coincidence. There is a purpose. God has a purpose for their lives. And help them learn early to prioritize that. Help them learn early to pay attention to the thoughts that come into their minds. Help them learn early. That's one of the biggest advantages of being Christian parents. You are partnering with God. Like the midwives partnered with God, you are partnering with God to raise up another generation of Moses, another generation of Miriam, another generation of Esther, another generation. Oh, hallelujah. You are partnering with God to help him, to help him, to help him. His desire is to have a family on the earth. He wants to call back humanity back to himself. Remember, he said to Moses, I brought you to myself. That was always his intention from the beginning in the Garden of Eden. When he created Adam and Eve, he wanted to have his family. That's why every day, every time he will come out in the cool of the day, he will come out and fellowship with them. He wanted to have his family. Help your children understand they are an integral part of helping God bring back his family to him. Help them understand they have a purpose on the earth. God wants to display through them his manifold wisdom. God wants to show off through them what he is able to do, even in a corrupt world. Don't train your children to run away from the world. Don't train your children to hide from the world. Train your children, though, to be world changers. Train your children. Let them know there is a purpose for their lives. There's a purpose. Train them. Let them know that in the midst of darkness, they can be light and they can shine. Hallelujah. Train them and let them know God's hands are upon their lives. They are supposed to be instruments to help draw people to Jesus. And the way they do that is by reflecting the beauty of Jesus, is by shining like Jesus, is by reflecting the glory of Jesus, is in how they talk, is in how they live, is in how they act, is in how they walk. That is the purpose of God for their lives, regardless of where they are. They may be midwives, they may be scientists,
They may be accountants. They may be bus drivers. They may be tailors. They may be whatever. God raised them up so that regardless of where they are, they can become instruments in the hands of God to help him draw people to Jesus. God has a purpose for your life. There are many people who think, I'm too old for whatever that purpose is. But that's not true. That's not true. At the time that God was having this conversation with Moses, he was well into his 80s. You are never too old to discover your purpose. It is very important to understand that whatever you have and wherever you are, there is a purpose behind it. Where you are today is not an end in itself. It's a means to an end. Our praise team earlier sang, I'm blessed, we're blessed, we're blessed, we're blessed. Do you understand that every blessing of God in your life, there is a purpose for it? There's a purpose. There's a reason why God blesses you. There's a reason why God blesses you. If you have more than somebody else, there is a purpose for the more that you have. If you have less than somebody else, there is a purpose for the less that you have. You are uniquely made, uniquely formed by God. Hallelujah. The midwives played one of the first most crucial roles in the arrival of Moses on the earth. But let's not stop with the midwives. Can we go on and talk about how Moses actually got here? In Exodus chapter 2, from verse 1, it's very helpful to read this from the Amplified just because there are names put there and it kind of helps, the flow is much better. In Exodus chapter 2, from verse 1, he said, now Amram, a man of the house of Levi, the priestly tribe, went and took his wife, Jochebed, a daughter of Levi. Even in the decision that Amram made over who to marry was based on purpose. We are of the priestly tribe. We are going to raise a priest for the kingdom of God. We are of the priestly tribe. We are going to raise a priest. Everything is clothed in purpose. If you have understanding, it makes you take certain steps that enhance the purpose of God. And as you enhance the purpose of God, God keeps taking you up. If you lack understanding, you live anyhow. You make decisions that have nothing to do with the purpose of God. And because you don't understand and you don't enhance the purpose of God, a lot of times in life you get grounded. Sometimes, people can go round and round and round and round and round just because the decisions that were made were not grounded in purpose. It is making decisions based on purpose. It is living a life of purpose that causes God to carry you on eagle's wings. It is agreeing with God and having an understanding of his purpose. I am no ordinary being. I'm a uniquely created being. I'm here for a purpose. I'm here for a purpose. Everything about my life, there is a reason for it. There is a purpose for it. If I'm a parent, part of my job is not just to make a living for my children. is to feed them with the diet of purpose. It's amazing to me how passionate we all are to make a living, to make a life for our children. And that is awesome. It's wonderful. That's our job. We are responsible for that. But above making a living for your children, creating a living for your children, is the responsibility of feeding your children with a diet of purpose. God will reveal to parents sometimes certain things about the future of their children if they listen. God will show certain things. I found out long after the children are even grown, God is still, he's still speaking to parents over the purpose of those children. The diet of purpose is a lifelong diet. It's a lifelong diet. For Moses, he started at age 3 months. Yochebed started to feed him with the diet of purpose. There's a purpose for your life. There's a purpose for your life. The Bible says, when she first had this boy, she looked at him and he looked beautiful. He looked beautiful. And the Bible repeats it in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. He said, this boy looked extremely beautiful, exceedingly beautiful. Let me ask you, what parent, what mother in the maternity ward has a child who doesn't think that child is the most beautiful thing on earth? What marks that child as beautiful is the purpose of God on the life of that child. The reason that child comes out looking that beautiful to you, the parent, is because God has a purpose. You just had so much pain. You just went through the most agonizing last few hours of your life. Epidural or not. You just came through one of the most difficult moments of your life. And pushed through the birth canal, this child. And suddenly, the moment you hear the sound of this crying baby, suddenly joy, joy. You suddenly forget all the pain. You suddenly forget all the agony. You suddenly forget all the trauma. You clutch that child to your breast. You look at that child. You hardly want to give that child up. Even when the father who put the child in your womb arrives in the ward and says, let me just hold him for a little more. Just a little bit longer. A little bit longer. This is the child that just put you through the most agonizing experience of your life. But to you, this is the most beautiful, most precious gift from heaven. Do you know why that child looks so beautiful, so precious? There's purpose. There's purpose on the life of that child. There's purpose. Before they have lived one moment, before they can even say, before they can come, ma, da, they know there's purpose. There's purpose. Have you read how David described it in Psalm 139? Hallelujah. Psalm 139 and verse 14. He said, I will praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. I understand it right well. Verse 15. My substance was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and I was curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in your book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. He said, all my days were written in your book before I even lived one. There's purpose on the life of that baby even before they've lived a full day. God marks every child with purpose. Every child with purpose. Money cannot take the place of purpose. Have you found out sometimes people end up having a lot of money and they still feel restless? Have you found out sometimes people have most of the things that people need and want in life? Everybody is dying for some of the things they have, and yet they are dissatisfied. Because that diet of purpose, Jesus said, when the disciples came to him in John chapter 4, while he was ministering to this Samaritan woman, the reason he sent them to the town, thank you, Holy Spirit, the reason he sent them to the town was to go get food. He was hungry and tired. But when they arrived with the food, he wouldn't eat. He wouldn't eat. Say, ah, master, won't you eat my meat? My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's my meat. Purpose is meat. It's a diet. Purpose is a diet. When children are fed that diet from earlier on, you guarantee their success. No child of purpose suddenly commits suicide. It is impossible. No child of purpose falls into the trap of depression. It is impossible. No child of purpose wanders around in life, ranging about, going around, not knowing how to make a head or tail of their journey. No. Because that diet of purpose is also a compass within them that directs them. It tells them, now is time for you to become this. Now is time for you to take this step. Jochebed fed Moses the diet of purpose. The Bible says suddenly, when he became 40 years old, it came into his heart. Suddenly, it came into his heart. Oh, glory to God. When there is purpose in your life, there are markers. There are markers. You don't know why. You don't know why you feel this. You don't know why you sense this. But you just know, at this point, I'm supposed to take this step. I don't even know why. I don't fully grasp it, but I know I'm supposed to do this. You know why? It's the diet of purpose. It's the diet of purpose. It creates markers in your life. Ha! Purpose is the greatest help that any human being on earth can have. Purpose will put you on the back of the eagle. And you will fly and you will never roam where the chickens are roaming. Purpose. Purpose will guarantee you a life of distinction, a life of significance. Purpose. Purpose has nothing to do with how people characterize what you do. You can be doing the job, the kind of job that most people may look down on, and people may say, don't pay anything. Don't pay anything. But because that job and that assignment was given to you by purpose, that job and that assignment will cause you to ride higher than CEOs of companies. Purpose will cause you to arrive at certain places in your life where money will never bring you there. Connections will never bring you there. Education will never bring you there. The Bible tells us Moses had the best education in the land. He had the education in Pharaoh's house. The Bible says he was fed with wisdom and science and the best education in Pharaoh's house. And yet, none of that could match the purpose that the Lord used to distinguish him. Amen. Let me ask you one more time. God has a purpose for your life. Do you understand that? Let's go back and read about Amram and especially Jochebed. Now, Amram, a man of the house of Levi, the priestly tribe, went and took as his wife Jochebed, a daughter of Levi. And the woman became pregnant and bore a son. And when she saw that he was exceedingly beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark or basket made of bulrushes or papyrus, making it watertight by daubing it with bitumen and pitch. Purpose will create unconventional wisdom in your life. You will not know how you came to know that by doing something, it will elicit certain results. You will not know it, but purpose will put you in position and feed you with unconventional wisdom. Jochebed said, "So it's time to put this child out. How do we protect him? How do we ensure he doesn't get devoured?" Purpose created unconventional wisdom within her. She knew exactly what to do. And she didn't stop there. She had an older daughter, Miriam, who was about 6 to 10 years old. That little child, Miriam. She called Miriam. She said, "Miriam, we're about to put your brother on the lake. We have done everything we know. We don't know how he's going to survive this. But we are going to have you around that lake every day." Unconventional wisdom. Yeah. When Pharaoh's daughter came to take her bath by the lake and saw the bassinet in which Moses was, they opened it. Moses was crying. He said, it's one of the babies of the Hebrews. She fell in love with him immediately. She thought to herself, how do I raise him? There was Miriam around the corner. Miriam said, "Ma'am, can I call you one of the Hebrew women to raise him, help you raise him?" Pharaoh's daughter said, "Yeah, sure." A 10-year-old girl had unconventional wisdom that preserved the purpose of God. You know why? Because she was fed on a diet of purpose. She was fed on a diet of purpose. As they were feeding Moses, they were feeding Miriam. As they were feeding Miriam, they were feeding Aaron. The three of them were in that family. The diet of purpose. I can imagine sitting around them, around their dining table, and I can imagine Jochebed and a lot of times Amram, whenever he was home, speaking to them, speaking to Moses, saying there's a purpose for your life. You know, God is going to send a deliverer. God is going to send a deliverer. And that deliverer may be you. It may be you that has been sent to deliver God's people. Now, this is how deliverers are. I can imagine them feeding Moses with purpose. Feeding Moses with purpose. When he became 40 years old, the Bible says he came into his heart to deliver his people. And he went out and started trying to deliver them one by one. That diet of purpose had prepared him. That diet of purpose kept an alarm ringing inside him every day. There's a purpose for your life. There's a purpose for your life. There's a purpose for your life. How sad. When he came to his brothers, after the first episode, he saw an Egyptian maltreating a Jew, a Hebrew. He delivered him and killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. The following day, he came out again. So I think in his mind, he thought, I'm going to be a deliverer. So one by one, I'm going to deliver these people. We're talking over 1 million people. How long would it have taken him to do that? See, he didn't know how to get it done. Yeah. But the bell of purpose was ringing inside him. The bell of purpose. And with the Lord, when you take steps based on purpose, the Lord will keep directing you. The mistake a lot of people make is they want to see everything before they take the first step. They want to know everything before they take the first step. They want to understand everything. It's like when God came and called Abraham and said, come out of your father's house. I'm going to send you to a land that you have never seen. Can you imagine Abraham asking God, God, how are you going to pay for our health insurance when we get there? What about the children's school? How do we take care of that, Lord? And how do we, what about our rent? Who's going to pay for our rent? Lord, can you imagine Moses asking God all these questions? No, he didn't. The Bible says he just got up and said, okay, even though he didn't know where they were going or how they were going to get there. When you take steps of purpose, one step will lead to another. Suddenly the light of God will start shining upon your path. Suddenly the light of God. And sometimes, even when you make missteps, but because you are walking in the direction of purpose, God can reroute your steps. God can reroute your steps and still bring you back to the center of his will eventually. It took 40 years for Moses. It took 40 years. But eventually God brought him right back to the center of his will. He killed the Egyptian the first day and buried him in the sand. The second day he went out. I think he had a mission like, you know what? Every day I'm just going to go out and I'm going to deliver one Hebrew at a time. One Hebrew. He would never have gotten it done. Well, of course, the next day he went out and saw two of them fighting. He said, why are you fighting yourselves? Huh? Don't you know you are brothers? You are brethren? And one of them said, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? The Bible says what the children of Israel lacked, but which Moses had, was understanding. What Moses had, but which the children of Israel didn't have, was understanding. It tells us that in Acts chapter 7, look at it. Look at it in Acts chapter 7. And verse 17. When the time of the promise drew near, which God has sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose who knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end they might not live. At which time Moses was born, and he was exceeding fear and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He was mighty in words and in deed. The Amplified says there in verse 22, Moses was educated in all the wisdom and culture of the Egyptians. And he was mighty, powerful in his speech and deeds. Verse 23, And when Moses became full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed. And he smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. But they understood not. It says in the Amplified in verse 25, he expected his brethren to understand that God was granting them deliverance by his hand, taking it for granted that they would accept him. But they did not understand. As I close this morning, I pray for you the same prayer that Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1. There's a reason why he prayed that prayer for the Ephesian church. When he started writing his letter to the Ephesian church in Ephesians chapter 1, he started out by talking a lot about the purpose of God. He said, I, Paul, was called by the purpose of God. He told them everything God does hinges on divine purpose. He told them about predestination. He taught them the doctrine of God's preordination, that God has prearranged certain things before the foundation of the world. He told them certain benefits and certain blessings of God's purpose. He told them how their coming into Christ by redemption was all an outworking of God's purpose. He told them the season was coming very soon, that the ultimate plan of God was to bring everything to an ultimate maturation under Jesus Christ. That the time is coming. The time is coming when God will make Jesus the head of everything. He told them all of that. He told them everything that the purpose and the plan of God represented. And then, as he closed that part of his teaching, he said, I pray for you. Let's close out in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, let's read this from the Amplified. Paul, an apostle, special messenger of Jesus Christ the Messiah, by the divine will, the purpose and the choice of God. Paul is telling them, I'm here by the purpose of God. In verse 4, he said, even as in his love he chose us, he actually picked us out for himself as his own in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, consecrated, and set apart for him, and blameless in his sight, even above reproach before him in love. Verse 5. For he foreordained us, he destined us, planned in love for us to be adopted, revealed as his own children through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the purpose of his will, because it pleased him, and that was his kind intent. Verse 7. In him we have redemption, deliverance, and salvation through his blood, the remission, forgiveness of all our offenses, our shortcomings, and trespasses, in accordance with the riches and the generosity of his gracious favor. Verse 8, verse 9, making known unto us the secret of his will of his plan, of his purpose. And it is this, in accordance with his good pleasure, his merciful intention, which he had previously purposed and set forth in him. He planned for the maturity of the times and the climax of the ages to unify all things and head them up and consummate them in Christ Jesus, both things in heaven and things in the earth. He goes on in verse 15. Let's go to the King James here. He said, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What are you praying for them, Paul? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us what who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. The same power which he wrought in Jesus when he raised him up from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. I pray for you as I close today, as I pray for myself, this same prayer that Paul prayed for the church. He prayed that they would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That is what enhances purpose. That spirit of wisdom and revelation was the alarm bell inside of Moses. That spirit of wisdom and revelation was what kept him restless. He was not restless until he became 40 years old. But the Bible says when he became 40 years old, it came to his heart suddenly. It came to his heart suddenly. My prayer for you today is that your eyes of understanding may become enlightened. I'm praying for you that you may receive the grace of understanding in your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray for you today that things that have been beclouded, things that have seemed like a quagmire, things that have seemed like just mired up in confusion, will suddenly begin to open up to you. Suddenly the light of God will begin to shine. Scales in your eyes will begin to fall off. So you can understand. So you can understand. You know, when you have understanding, you don't have time to be a busybody. Talking about this one, talking about that one, getting involved in this one, getting involved in that one, talking about all these things that have nothing to do with your purpose. Sometimes people ask me, Pastor, how come you don't know this? How come you don't know that? I say, because I'm very focused on my purpose. I'm too focused The Bible says, if your eyes are single, your body will be full of light. If your eyes are single, your body will be full of light. There is understanding and clarity that I have in my life. Very strong understanding and clarity that I have in my life that did not come from reading books. Though there is nothing wrong with reading books, helps us. But having your vision, having your eyes single, I don't have time to discuss what's going on in somebody's house. That one, and this one, and that one. Sometimes people even come to me and say, we want you to help us solve this problem. And they start talking about, I say, listen, I don't want to know your problem. I don't want to hear the details. This is the wisdom of God. This is what you need to do with this situation. I don't, you know what? I don't have time. Cho. That is why you lack understanding. That is why you lack understanding. There is no way you are a busybody in other people's situations and you will have under. You will not have understanding. The light, the alarm bells that are supposed to go off inside you at certain times as preordained by God, as preordained by God in destiny, you will miss them. You know why? Because you are talking so much, you can't hear the alarm. You are talking so much, you are in everybody's matter. You are in every... All Moses got was the diet of purpose. The diet of purpose. He set him apart. Clarity. Understanding. Light. 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 Beloved, when the dispensation of grace, God wants to do great things for us. God is not judging you. He's not judging the world. God is not angry with you. God is not angry with you. No matter what you have done, you've committed murder, and you've killed somebody, and you've stolen, and you've lied, and you've, no matter what you've done, God is not mad at you. God loves you. He hates the sin, but he loves you. In this dispensation of grace, God is calling the world. God is calling his family back together. This is the dispensation of grace. God is saying, go call my family. Bring my family back to me. Go into the highways and into the byways. God is not looking to create exclusive clubs of righteous people who can touch the world, who can influence the world. No, this is the dispensation of grace. God wants to use you with the purpose which he has wired you with, wherever you are, in your home, on your job, in your relationships, in your families, in the different groups and societies, communities that you belong to. God wants to use you to call his family back to him. This is the dispensation of grace. It's not the dispensation of judgment. Man is being lied to every day. And in the church, there's so much deception and people don't understand it. And the people who are fanning the flames of deception are not doing it deliberately. They themselves lack understanding. They do lack understanding. And that's why the Lord said, no, don't get into, hold your tongue now. Don't get into talking bad about my people. Because they are not doing all they are doing because they want to do wrong. They just don't understand it. They just don't understand it. Light will give you understanding. It will help you know your place. It will help you know how you can partner with God. Even in America right now, God has a purpose. God wants to save this nation. He wants to save the world. God wants to save people in the nooks and in the crannies of the world. And those that are going to help him do it, the midwives of this generation, are the people of purpose who understand. They are the midwives of this generation that will see to it that the babies are not aborted. The Moseses of the world, the Miriams of the world, the Esthers of the world are not aborted in the birth canal. But they are going to partner with God and help him bring to fruition that which God has pre-planned by calling the world back to him. God is not mad with a prostitute. He sat down, Jesus did, sat down at the well with that woman. And the woman thought he should be judging her. And Jesus said, no, I'm not judging you. He said, go call your husband. He said, actually, I used to be married. I've married like 4 times or 5 times. And the one I'm living with now is not, you know, we're just actually just living together. Jesus didn't say, you are going to hell. No. Call my family back. Jesus wants to love the ungodly back into the kingdom. This is not religion. There is a divine purpose. This is not religion. We are not called to be religious people. We are not called, we are not a voting block. The church is not a voting block. We are God's instrument, God's hand to help him redeem the unsaved, the lost, to help him find those that are buried and lost in darkness and bring the light of God to them. He said, you are salt and you are light. You are salt and you are light. We are salt and we are light. We are supposed to help prepare for the coming, the second coming of Jesus. Prepare the people. Prepare the church. God is not judging the world. It's not time. Stop pronouncing judgment on the world. This is a dispensation of grace. God wants to save the murderer. He wants to save the prostitute. He wants to save the liar. He wants to save the adulterer. He wants to save the drug addict. God is not mad at the world. God is not mad at the world. He loves the death of Jesus, the blood that Jesus shed was the ultimate price paid. It washed away all his anger. It washed away all his anger. Without the blood of Jesus, we didn't stand a chance. We didn't stand a chance because God could not behold our iniquity. God could not look upon us and behold our sinfulness. But the blood of Jesus washed it all away. The blood of Jesus makes the drug addict acceptable to the Lord. He said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. I pray for the spirit of understanding on God's people today. I pray in the name of Jesus. We'll be people of purpose and people of power. People that can partner with God. I don't care how old you are. 80, 85, 90, 70, 75, 60, 65. I don't care how old you are. 17, 20, 25. God has a purpose for you. He fed you this morning with a diet of purpose to make a change in the rest of your life. So that you will set your heart to wisdom. You will understand the measures of your days. You will know how frail you are. How transient your time is here. You are running out of time. You don't have time for all of this talk. You don't have time for all of this nonsense. You are sent here for a purpose. God preserve your life for a purpose. God preserve your life for a purpose. Everybody, please stand to your feet. Let's close out this service today. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you.